For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, finishing up today my series on the subject of suffering. I wrote a book called A Path Through Suffering, and you can order that book through Gateway to Joy if you want to. There are four categories that I've given in this book for reasons why we suffer. We so often say, I don't understand these things, or we just don't know why God allows these things, or why should Christians suffer, or why should so-and-so, who is such a good person, have to go through this? If we study the scriptures carefully, we do find that there are many partial answers. There are at least 28 reasons that I've discovered as to why we should suffer. They don't intellectually satisfy us as to the mystery of the origin of evil. We know that God created a world in which evil was possible. Part of his reason for that, surely, was in order that he might have creatures capable of choosing to love him or choosing to defy him. And, of course, the freedom to choose to love him would not have been a freedom at all if we were not also free to defy him. And so, as we know, Adam and Eve chose to disobey, and as a result, suffering and death and evil have been conditions of our lives ever since. In the back of this book, I've given, as I say, four categories. First of all, because we suffer for our own sake. Secondly, we suffer for the sake of God's people. Third, we suffer for the world's sake. And fourth, we suffer for Christ's sake. And I've given many scriptures under each of these headings. Before I go into some of those, and I will read off as many as we have time for, I do want you to know how much I look forward to receiving your letters. And I got a letter in response to my book, A Chance to Die. It was written by Mrs. James Bryant. Her first name is Arlene. I meant to say thank you, thank you, thank you for such an encouraging one. I do love getting your letters. Sometimes they hurt, and I need to be reminded that not everything I say is meant for everybody. That's important for me to remember, because a woman of my strong convictions and perhaps very arbitrary opinions at times is tempted to think that she's always right. And of course, I'm not always right. I had a colleague named Mary Skinner that I worked with in the jungle of Ecuador, and she was a real Cockney born within the sound of the Bow Bells in London. And when she and I would have a friendly altercation, she would sometimes end by saying, "Horrors, right again." In the case when I won the argument, of course, she would say that, "Horrors, right again." Well, I'm wrong again many times, and I sometimes hurt people without meaning to. But most of your letters are so encouraging, and often your stories can be used to help other people. So be assured that I won't use your name or embarrass you in any way. The Bible says the spiritual outlook brings peace. Romans 8, 5 and 6 and 9 says this, "Those who live on the level of our lower nature have their outlook formed by it." And that spells death. But those who live on the level of the Spirit have the spiritual outlook. And that is life and peace. You are on the spiritual level if only God's Spirit dwells within you. And if a man does not possess the Spirit of Christ, he is no Christian. I think I should read that passage again. It is loaded with meaning for all of us. Those who live on the level of our lower nature have their outlook formed by it. And that spells death. Those who live on the level of the spirit have the spiritual outlook, and that is life and peace. You are on the spiritual level if only God's spirit dwells within you. And if a man does not possess the spirit of Christ, he is no Christian. Romans 8, 5, 6, and 9. What I'm trying to get across in each little talk, each day, is a spiritual outlook. We are natural beings. We are human beings. We are earthly. We are sensual. We are often governed by emotions. We are not born with a spiritual outlook. It takes a new birth. It takes a new life, the life of Jesus Christ in us. And the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or a new act of creation. So for the rest of our lives here on earth, we have this struggle between the two natures that are warring, as Paul said, within us, the old nature and the new nature. And the old nature shapes our outlook on life. When the old nature shapes our outlook on life, that spells death. But those who live on the level of the Spirit have a spiritual outlook, and that is life and peace. That's why I hope that you understand what I'm saying in these talks. I want you to have life and peace. I want to have it myself, and I'm in the process, the painful shaping process, in which we are all being shaped into the image of Christ. And God knows what it takes to shape Elizabeth Elliot into the image of Christ. And if my judgment is anywhere near correct, my guess is that I still have a long, hard process to go through, because I'm very far from being a purely spiritual being. And my outlook is always a mixture, I guess. I don't think that I could claim that I look at everything from a spiritual outlook. But I know that the more I do, the more peace I experience. When I think of the lovely picture that Lilias Trotter gives us of the wild rose calyx, joyously flung back as the new dying brings a richer living, I think of two women I know who illustrate that. One of them, very much a woman of her generation, couldn't imagine giving up her job, her prestige, and her freedom in order to be a mother. That's too high a price to pay, she said. But as she grew in grace, she saw that giving herself to God meant giving him everything. It meant death to herself. Then he showed her that motherhood was his call. And when she obeyed, she found not only peace, but joys she hadn't dreamed of. Her yielding to him, which of course was a death, meant that a richer life had begun to work in her heart, and wistful thoughts of all she had left behind, the petals, that is, in the figure of speech, that the calyx has let go, all those wistful thoughts were forgotten in her happy embracing of that life. Paul told the Philippian Christians that they were his pride and joy, proof that he had not run his race in vain. But if my lifeblood is to crown that sacrifice, which is the offering up of your faith, I am glad of it, and I share my gladness with you, he said. Rejoice, you no less than I. And let's share our joy. The other woman that I'm thinking of has been devastated, not once, but several times, by Christian men who gave every indication of loving her and intending to marry her. And then they have ridden off into the sunset with somebody else. This woman has chosen to surrender all her wounds to the Lord, believing against all odds that his purpose for her is love. And in her recent letter, she quoted a prayer by Amy Carmichael, which she has made her own. Lord, more and more I pray thee, or by wind or fire, make pure my inmost heart's desire, and purge the clinging chaff from off the floor. I wish thy way. And when in me myself would rise and long for something otherwise, then, Holy One, take sword and spear and slay. O stay nearby, most patient love, till by thy grace in this poor silver thy bright face shows forth in clearness and serenity. What will it be when, like the lily or the rose that in my flowery garden blows, I shall be flawless, perfect, Lord, to thee? That's God's aim for you and for me, in and through and because of whatever form of suffering we have to face, that someday we should be flawless, perfect, like Him. Do you look forward to that day? I do.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.